Now, you're welcome back to part two of Religion Matters, KFM's weekly religion reflection and social issues programme. This is Brenda Drum with you, and I've got an Aussie in studio with me this morning, and he has travelled all the way from Australia to be with us on Religion Matters. And if you missed part one of the show, where were you? You missed a fantastic story about his first book, Where the Hell is God? We will podcast it, but hopefully you were tuned in and you're going to join us now for the next part. So you've just published a second book, and another nicely provocative title, which is...
Why Bother Praying?
Okay, over to you.
It came out of Where the Hell is God? Of all the things that people responded to, most very respectfully, but some were really angry with me. At one stage in Where the Hell is God, I talk about can we stop praying for rain? That when I started to think about how we think God's will work, I realized that, my goodness, I'm asked to pray an awful lot about the weather. Like, for instance, I can't tell you how many brides have asked me in the last 20 years I've been a Jesuit priest, Father, will you say a fine day for my wedding on Saturday? And it's like God's a big meteorologist in the sky. And I now say, no, I will not say a fine day for your wedding. And then I have to save the situation pastorally by saying, look, whatever's happening outside the church, it'll be raining love in the church, which is all rather... nauseating, really, even saying that now. But it is this sense that God was a weatherman, and that if God is a meteorologist, he seems to be a singularly bad one, to be honest, because Australia went through, in our situation, we went through an 8-year drought, and then when it broke, we got a flood. So, you know, he doesn't seem to be a particularly self-restrained weatherman, if he is.
I think in Ireland, we would probably agree with you there. And we regularly pray for fine weather for the farmers. So,
well, I absolutely love coming to Ireland when people say, oh, we've had a terrible drought here, Father, they'll say. And that means it hasn't rained for 3 weeks. I think come to Australia, we had a drought that went for 8 years. Like, it is interesting for your listeners to think about. We had 7-year-old kids who had never seen rain. We should have sent them to Ireland, but
should
have put them on a plane and sent them to Ireland. That said, I got an awful lot of letters about that chapter about intercessory prayer, and that triggered something in me to say, actually, I think we've been sold a bit of a pup in the Catholic Church. I don't think we even understand just how rich our own Catholic tradition is on prayer, because basically we've reduced it to praying for something for someone somewhere. It's all intercessory prayer. And then when it doesn't happen, God's not there. When it doesn't happen the way I want it to, we have to go through all these sorts of contortions about either God isn't caring or God doesn't want that or God said no. Or so I had another go at, I never thought I'd write a prayer. God knows my prayer life. I'm no mystic. There are three ways, Brenda, to become a saint in the Catholic Church: as a heroic virtue, so outstanding charity, by martyrdom or mysticism. Well, martyrdom at this stage is the only way out for me. You know, it's the only way forward for me to become a saint, I have to say, because I am not a mystic, and my daily offering of my prayer life to God is pretty simple indeed. But I did want to write this book because I thought, actually, I've wrestled with how rich the church's tradition is on prayer, and maybe some others would find it helpful too.
So the book looks at how to pray, why we pray, and what prayer does for us. And I would have thought that the third one is probably the most important.
It is the most important. Although I'm getting a lot of great feedback from people about how different parts of the book means different things to them. You know, it's extraordinary. Normally with a lot of authors, and this is my sixth book now, you normally find people focus on one or two things. But in the letters that I've got back and emails and other correspondences, it's just such a range of stuff in this book that's meant different to people. And I think it's where they are on their own spiritual journey, to be honest. That said, what does prayer do for us? Well, of course, in the Christian tradition, we believe God is unchanging. The technical theological word is that God is immutable. So prayer doesn't change God. So what does it do? See, I think we've traditionally thought it does change God. If I pray long enough and hard enough and do enough penance, then God will take me seriously. Well, that ends up like a political rally. That ends up like a lobby group. If we get enough people to sign the petition to heaven, then God's going to change God's mind. But of course, the God revealed to us in the Father revealed in by Jesus in the New Testament is already on our side. We don't have to work harder for that. It's a question of claiming that love and living it in our life. And that's what I say prayer ultimately is. It's those moments where we get a moment to feel and experience God's love, which changes us to change the world. And liturgical prayer, when we come to Mass, when we come to sacraments, is where we ask a loving God to change a whole group, the whole church, to go out and live it. If 1.2 billion Catholics in the world right now actually lived their faith in being faithful, hopeful, and loving, we would transform the world. So it's not religion that's been that's found wanting, it's our living of it that is often found wanting.
It's our practice and
it's
living
our practice of
the
faith.
We have that issue in Ireland. I suppose we could split sort of the prayer life into four aspects. We have sort of primary school children who are very well rehearsed and practiced in prayer. Then you have sort of secondary school who maybe don't pray as much. They still pray in school. Then you have the sort of school leavers, young parents, and then you have the older generation who are doing their best to try and give some, try and hand on the hand the faith back. And there would seem to be a case where a lot of, especially young parents who maybe are whose children are going through, I suppose, formation for communion and confirmation, and they have forgotten basic prayers, they've forgotten how to pray. So have you had a lot of feedback about people when you, in terms of telling them how to pray?
Well, I say in the book there are many ways into God and many ways out. I think the problem becomes when some people say there's only one way to do it. There just isn't. Our own Catholic tradition is so rich that there are many ways in and many ways out. And honestly, if some people want to say Hail Mary, Glory Be and an Our Father every day and call that their prayer life, that's terrific. If others want to go to Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, or if they want to go to other sacraments or Mass every day, fantastic. You do what works. St. Ignatius says, or a paraphrase of St. Ignatius that I use in the book is, if it helps, do it. If it doesn't, don't. Now, some things like attending the Eucharist and reading the Scriptures aren't optional extras for Christians and Catholics. We say they're essential moments in our life, but the rest is pretty well up to grabs. Like in my chapter on Mary, which I'm really pleased about, I have to say, I get a little uncomfortable with people say, well, you've got to believe in an apparition, or you've got to pray to Our Lady in this way, and nothing else is acceptable. I just like to remind them that if that's working for them, that is fantastic. But if somebody else finds charismatic prayer or centering prayer, or if they find other forms of meditation to be more helpful, then the litmus test is what I'm doing help me love God, love my neighbour, and love myself? I want to go back to an earlier point you made, though, Brenda, which I think is important. Sometimes grandparents, some listening to us right now, will say, say to me, Father, my kids and my grandkids aren't going to Mass. What am I going to do about it? And I say to them, be a happy Catholic. That's what you're going to do about it. Because the sense that somehow you can scream and yell and stomp your foot and tell them they're going to hell because they're not going to Mass, well, we've tried that for the last 30 years, and I don't think that's been a very winning strategy. In fact, that only breeds a contempt. People who hear all of that don't feel guilty these days and then rush off to Mass. In fact, they just feel quite satisfied that the church is all just about making you feel guilty. Rather, the witness of a happy Christian life is without question the most eloquent thing. And the bad news for some people is they may not be around to see its fruit. I have done funerals of Nana and Pop who have been worried about the lack of practice of their kids and grandkids. And at the wake, up will come someone and said, Father, I don't know what Nana and Pop had, but they had great faith and it gave them great joy. And I think that's the moment of faith. There we can work with that moment. And that was the witness to a happy Catholic life.
Now, I mentioned at the start that you lecture and you are doing a couple of lectures in Dublin. I think one tomorrow night and one on Tuesday night. Do you have details of those?
Well, you might have more details than I do. I know the first one's at Avila.
Yeah. On, I think, Monday evening at 7:30, and that's in on Moorhampton Road, a villa there. And I presume you're going to be talking about the book, yes?
I'll be talking about Why Bother Praying, about this book. And, of course, it builds on the second, and I'm happy for anyone who comes who wants to ask questions about either book.
Yeah, and the second one is on Tuesday evening in the Redemptoristines Convent on the Iona Road in Dublin, and that's again at 7:30.
So that's exactly right.
It's a short trip up here from kind of Kildare and Wicklow areas, and I think if people have enjoyed listening to you this morning, which I know I have, I'm sure our listeners have, then they should pop along to see you on either Monday night or Tuesday night.
I promise them many things, but one of them, I won't bore them. If they think they're coming to a boring old talk about theology and religion, think again, because we need, if God is the God we believe in, then we can't be bored thinking and talking about him.
Well, you certainly haven't bored me, and I don't think you've bored our listeners this morning. On that note, I'm going to let you go, and it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming all the way from Australia to chat to us on
Thanks,
Religion
Brenda.
Matters.
Thank you very
and
much.
And I look forward to chatting to you again. Thank you.
God bless.